She's got a problem with her internet, so but there
Oh,
we go.
That's a pity. Oh, yeah.
We got Marja, so hiya.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, good to see you.
Sorry to be late.
That's okay. I think it'd be good to let's do some. Just if you've got anything you'd like to ask, and maybe we'll do some more exercises today and look just to see some encounters. So
that would be great.
Okay, good. So let's start. Have you got anything you'd like to ask?
I have maybe a little question, but it need not to be long. But last week was the 20th anniversary of Toronto. Maybe you have also heard into it. At least I went through the one session with Heidi Baker and lots of prophetic words, which have been very encouraging. But in a way, I missed really that there were words about, like, we have been going through or going through a transformation, that people need to get their hearts more ready, at least in the prophetic words. I have not gone through all the teaching sessions, and my question would be, would you then just go into the heavenlies and pray into that, or would you rather, I mean, have still some good context to some of the leaders, so talk to them, or, yeah, it would be a question I have. Okay. I mean, with Heidi, I know very clearly her whole lifestyle is very committed, very humble, very broken. So, but when you only hear the prophetic word, it sounds like it will come all automatically, and we have no really part in it. So, and this concerned me really a bit, yeah.
Sure. Well, I believe prophetically there's, God releases things to the body through prophetic people around the world. But that doesn't necessarily mean all prophetic people understand what they're bringing. Because when the spirit of prophecy comes on someone, they bring something and they release it and they speak it out. But the context for that is not always understood by the person who brings it. And so it's dangerous to sort of just receive a word and then try and put your own framework around it. Because often God speaks words to bring transformation. When we embrace the word, it causes something in our hearts to stir. It causes us to be discontent with where we are because there's a word encouraging us to go forward into something. I feel that a lot of the words that get brought in different situations and circumstances are often filtered through a perspective of past revelation. And that means that people can try and fit that word into something that they already know. Whereas I believe God is bringing words today which take us out of where we are to bring us into transformation, into something new. You know, if you look at the church, you know, in one perspective, the church worldwide is very successful. In a way, if you look at it, started off with 12 people and 120 people on the day of Pentecost, and 500 people were there when Jesus went back into heaven, and it spread to, you know, hundreds of millions. Some would say, you know, close to a billion people. So that, in one sense, is a very positive dynamic, and that talks about people and the growth of the numbers of people who profess Jesus as Lord or profess to be Christians in some way. But I believe that if you look at the actual world in which we live, you know, is the world operating and living according to what God intended it to? I definitely don't think it is. So although there's been a growth in numbers, has there been a growth in maturity? And I believe God is calling the church into maturity. He's coming back for a church that's spotless, without wrinkle or blemish, therefore it has to come into maturity. Now, maturity means fulfilling its original purpose. And God's original purpose for his people was to bring dominion to the earth, to subdue it, to overcome it, and to bring the reflection of heaven into earth. And that revelation is being released more and more. And the challenge is to the church to say, are we fulfilling that mission? And that mission is just the beginning, because if Adam and Eve had not sinned, they would have progressively been transformed into the image of Jesus, and they would have taken the garden, which was the overlap of heaven and earth, so that heaven would have been reflected on earth within the garden that God created for them, and then they would have expanded that garden to create the world to be the garden which was connected to heaven and overlapping and flowing. Now, there was an enemy to subdue and to overcome. Now, of course, they failed at the first obstacle. Now, Jesus has come to restore what was lost and to bring us back into original condition. And if you think of Acts 3:19-20, it talks that heaven will keep, Jesus will remain in heaven until the restoration of all things spoken by prophets in ancient times. So everything that was originally spoken into being, and you can see that right throughout the scriptures, not just chronologically, but you read particularly in some scriptures, you read what was originally purposed as well. And there's a lot to be done. So Jesus is not going to return anytime soon unless we really get our act together. And so the whole thing that has been prophesied about preparation, about transformation, about the need to get our hearts right, is a key. And you know, the prophetic timetable that God showed me is, in fact, you know, when you look at the history of that timetable, 20 years ago, it is a 20th anniversary, but God, in 1983, I think it was, through some of the prophetic people at the time, prophesied that in 10 years there was going to be an outpouring of the Spirit that would be seen as an outpouring of the wine of the Spirit, but it would create a warfare in the church because some would embrace it and some would reject it. And that was what happened in Toronto, but it wasn't just there. Actually, here in the church here, or before we even started the church, we were experiencing the same manifestations in 1993. And others around in the more Pentecostal circles at the time had embraced the teaching of Rodney Howard Brown to bring that revelation of an outpouring of the Spirit. And I believe that was the initial stages of the calling the church back into intimacy, back into sonship, back into the relationship with the Father, and that still continues and will continue until Jesus returns. And in that time, Jesus wanted his church back. There were prophetic words back in those times. Jesus wants his church back. And he does. And he still does. He wants a church that is completely surrendered to his purpose, truly reflecting who he is as the Son of God, that we would be the light of the world as he was. He called us to be. Therefore, we have to be light. And, of course, if you look at that in an old way, that would just mean, okay, well, we have to present the gospel and we have to present the good news and we have to be salt and light in our community, and absolutely correct, that's right. But actually there's fresh revelation that actually, no, we are to be light, we're to shine glory, we're to be transformed to such a dimension that we're not just who we were. We are going to be mature sons of God, that God is going to be pleased to demonstrate on the earth. So he is going to reveal his sons on the earth, and that revelation of sonship goes way beyond what is currently understood. And so, you know, within that, those periods of prophetic revelation, the call to the church to come back into unity and come back into harmony with him and to come back into relationship with him would then allow him to begin to bring and remove the stumbling blocks. So a period of transformation in which stumbling blocks, lawlessness, doing things our own way, doing things in an earthly way when we're supposed to do things in a heavenly way, is going to be restored. And so when you think of, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven, Well, our old way of looking at that would be, well, we would pray here and ask God to come and do something. Whereas fresh revelation would say God is inviting us to come with him and for us to do something in heaven, which would be translated into a change on earth. And so these things definitely aren't just automatic, just because they've been prophesied. People have to embrace the fullness and the revelation of the prophecy, find what God is stirring in their hearts, and then begin to respond individually, and then begin to respond corporately around the world to that message, that sound, that vibration, that frequency which is coming out of heaven. And, you know, once you know the love of God, and you know you're accepted and loved and affirmed in him, then it's much easier to receive the discipline of God, because you know he's not punishing, he's disciplining, training, equipping his people. And so the removing of stumbling blocks is not a punishment, it's a blessing to remove the obstacles in our lives and within the church generally, so that he can come in fullness, that he can flow through us in fullness, and so we would be in a position to be able to manifest heaven on earth. You know, and then when judgment comes to the church, again, judgment is not punishment. Judgment is just God saying, this is me. This is the supernatural, called out group of people who hear my voice and respond with obedience and represent me on the earth. And those who hear the call and the sound are responsible to obey and to resonate with it and come into harmony and agreement with it. And so God's judgment first comes on those who hear the word, and those who basically struggle to move forward with the word are probably going to be those that end up like Moses in the wilderness. They'll end up not entering into the fullness of their inheritance. And unfortunately, I feel that many ministries and big ministries who've built up reputations and have a lot of financial things that they have to manage and administer may well struggle to accept the new. See, Moses in the wilderness operated in signs and wonders. He did miracles. They had food delivered to them every day. They had supernatural water, supernatural protection. Their clothes didn't wear out. Awesome, you'd think, but they were just going around in circles. They weren't fulfilling their destiny. They weren't taking the land. And of course, when it got to, oh, well, we're going to go into this land and there's giants in there and there's things we have to overcome spiritually and physically, they weren't prepared to go. And so God is calling out to the church with a sound from heaven saying, are you willing to embrace the new dimensions of the kingdom? Are you willing to go over the Jordan and into a new land and let go of the old ways, the old ways which you become used to, the old supernatural ways, which are very much more what we do here on earth, to embrace a new supernatural ways which we need to engage in heaven. And therefore heaven needs to be manifested on earth through our lives rather than just operating in spiritual gifts in this dimension. And that's where the challenge will come. Are people willing to let go of old ways of thinking, old mindsets, to embrace new ones? And it is a challenge. You know, and I think that challenge will separate those which accept the purposes of God and those who reject the purposes of God. And God is just going to give people a choice. You know, judgment is a choice. Accept me, reject me. It's not God coming per se and trying to punish or do anything. It's just God saying, hey, I want a people on earth that reflect me, and this is what it's like. Who's going to get on board with that? And so we're called to embrace that, embrace change. But I think a lot of people who are prophesying the change are not fully understanding what it means. And therefore, when the challenge comes, are you going to actually respond to this and be willing to change and let go of the old things and embrace new ways in the kingdom? Then the challenge will really come to people, whether they're willing to pay the cost. And I think a lot of people are struggling to to see how what God is prophesying and what God is releasing in a prophetic sense fits into what they believe is going to happen in the future. And so there's a tension between a lot of the prophetic that's being released and old understanding of how that would be outworked. You know, old, technically called eschatology or the study of the end times. And there's a big struggle going on with being willing to let go of old ideas which have just infiltrated the church like leaven to embrace new, well, it's not new, it's just the revelation that they had in the early church of what God was going to do. And so I believe that many of the prophetic things are absolutely right, that God's releasing prophetically, but we have to be careful how we interpret them and not just interpret them through the filters of our past and present understanding, but be willing to allow God to progressively bring revelation of his kingdom, which will take us into a new way of operating, thinking, acting, working out. Because I believe most of the church tend to sort of think, well, everything's going to be a little bit like it is now, and then some bad things will happen, then Jesus will return. And I don't think it's going to be anything like it is now in the future. I think it's going to be so radically different that God's people have to be raised up as the mountain of the house of the Lord, so the whole world can stream to a church that's living in the fullness of sonship, manifest in heaven, having the answers and the supernatural answers to bring transformation and to release people into their destinies. And I believe there is going to be a massive harvest coming in which 20%, I believe, of the population are going to turn to Christ, and those 20% are going to be drawn into apostolic resource centers, habitations of God, revival centers, who are going to be equipped like cities of refuge to embrace them and train them and equip them in the supernatural ways of God to release them into their mandate to bring the harvest, the end time harvest that will bring Jesus back. And so God is looking to raise up a Joshua generation of people who are willing to be those mentors, who are willing to be those who are going to equip and supernaturally prepare that generation to come. Like Joshua and Caleb, men of a different spirit who were able to take people into the land and achieve victory and overcome. So yeah, I think there's a lot of prophetic things that we need to seek God about embracing in a new way, and not be restricted by old patterns and old ways of thinking that will hold us back and will stop people embracing the new if they want it to be in an old way and an old pattern that they think it should come in. We have to be willing to embrace how God brings them something, not how we expect it to be. So, yeah, a lot of prophetic things being released. But we need to really weigh them in our own hearts and go back to God and ask for his revelation to us about what they mean for us. Not just assume that what even the people who bring the prophetic word are interpreting it as. It has to come to us. So as we hear prophetic words, we need to resonate with them and allow God to unveil what they mean. Because, you know, loads of prophetic people in the Old Testament prophesied things that they had no idea what it was going to be like 300, 400, 500 years later. They just brought the prophecy, and they probably thought, hey, this is going to happen this way. And in reality, it was a new way when Jesus came that saw many of those prophecies start to be fulfilled. And we have to have an expectation that it's going to be like that for us, that there are going to be great changes and transformations as the shaking comes that shakes everything loose so that only that which is of the kingdom can remain. You know? Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, sort of make accusations or sort of don't understand what's going on, and they sort of say, well, you know, everyone's too heavenly focused and they're focusing on heaven and everything's about heaven, and well, what about earth? And, you know, absolutely we have to manifest things on earth, but they have to be manifested in heaven first. And if you read Colossians 3, it says very clearly that we should fix our eyes on those things that are above. That we should be looking not at earthly things, but heavenly. And it's important that we get hold of that, because when we look at the heavenly things, it will enable us to bring transformation of the earth in a heavenly pattern. And there are some things in heaven that are not released yet on earth. And so we've got to be really open for fresh and new revelation and understanding. But God's moving and God's speaking, but it's not just going to happen. We have to embrace it, and we have to be transformed for it to be outworked. And I think that's where we are, really. I think we're at a point where many churches who have embraced the call of God are now being challenged to change, and are being challenged to move on and be transformed, and to have the stumbling blocks of past revelation, of past doctrine, of past infiltration of the leaven of Herod and the Pharisees that is operating within the structures that are there today, and be willing to allow the gathering angels to remove them. And those that embrace that will be able to stand when God's judgment comes, because he's going to say, yes, this reflects my glory on earth, and I'm going to come and inhabit it, and I'm going to come in the fullness of a dimension beyond which anyone's ever seen. And I feel that the wind that was just came as a mighty rushing wind, but it's the sound of a mighty rushing wind in Pentecost. Now, Pentecost, there was three things. There was the wine. They seemed like they were drunk, and we've had that. That's the call into this intimacy and love and the joy of salvation and the wonderful experiences of laughter and joy and things that come out of that. There was the fire. Yeah, there was tongues of fire that were over them. And I think people forget that that was a fiery experience. And I think that was just the beginning. Now we've got to see fire come to the church to transform it. And so that fire of transformation and refining that comes as God removes the things and impurities within his people then leads on to the wind. That great, violent, vibrating force that's going to change things. It's going to shake things. It's going to transform things. It's going to bring things into a totally different dimension. So all we've seen so far is a little flame and a little breeze from what's coming. And the fire is being released, and the seraphim are being released from heaven, and the coals from the altar in heaven are being released to bring change and transformation and purification and refining to the people of God. And some won't accept it. Now, God is not going to give up on them. He's going to continue offering the fire, but he's going to move. And those who respond to the fire will receive the judgment. And that judgment will be, hey, I am going to fill you and occupy you. I'm going to manifest my glory on you and through you like never before. But those who don't receive the fire will probably be those who are criticizing and judging and in opposition. You know, the world is not where the opposition generally comes from. It's the church. And I think the institutional church that's left, when the true church is starting to be revealed by fire, will be often the people who are in opposition. And, you know, if you read Rick Book's, Joyner's book, The Quest, you know, when the army of the enemy, the hordes, come marching against the church, they're not riding on horses, they're riding on the backs of Christians. And we have to be very, very careful that we embrace love and acceptance and don't bring our own judgment, but we're going to have to stand firm and move forward in spite of criticism and opposition that will come. And it usually comes from the religious and the political religious systems. There's stuff coming. But, hey, God is going to come and manifest his glory like never before seen on earth through manifested sons who will reflect heaven in totally different dimensions, greater works. You know, those greater works will give us access to do things that Jesus never did. And I'm excited and look forward to what that might mean. There you go.
I think it's a bit in line. A while ago, I saw this huge creature, like in the heavens, and it gave me such fright. You know, it was the, I really felt it was the fear of the Lord. And since then, I felt that the next phase coming to the church is the fear of the Lord. It's just, how do you prepare as a church? I mean, is there a way you can prepare people where a lot of people have not even experienced, you know, Father's love? And,
yeah. Well, you know, you just have to do what God's called you to do. You know, every individual is responsible to prepare for themselves. And the fear of the Lord, you know, is a very, very strong experience when you experience and encounter the fear of the Lord, one of the seven spirits of God, and you encounter that even in the gateway of your own heart. You've got the gateway of the fear of God that comes and works within our conscience to bring that reverence of God and that awesomeness of God. And when we treat God as in one hand a loving father and an intimate friend and that wonderful experience of intimacy, but on the other hand, he is a consuming fire, and he is an awesome God who's creator and sustainer of the universe, and we have to keep those in balance. Because the danger is, if you receive the love, which is awesome, it can lead into license if you're not careful. Oh, God loves me anyway, so he won't mind if I this. That love has got to lead us to saying, I want to be more like him. I want to love him so much I don't want to do anything that's going to bring any disrepute or bring any disrespect to him or any ill repute to him, because I represent him, and therefore people look at me, they see him, and if I'm acting and behaving like this, then that's going to be a poor reflection on who he is. And so I think there's a tension and a balance between the intimacy and the wonderful love, and also knowing that the fear of the Lord is there to ensure that we honor and respect him and bring reverence and awe in our relationship with him. And that, again, will encourage us to receive transformation. You know, the spirit of the fear of the Lord took me to the judgment seat and took me and showed me my scroll and showed me where my life was wood, hay, and stubble. When I went before the fire of the presence of God and the eyes of God were burning into my life and my scroll was unveiled, the scroll of my life was unveiled, you know, I saw all those things that I'd done in my own strength. You know, there was no sin there, like sin that's been already done, dealt with by Jesus on the cross, but just those opportunities of I've missed all the things of what I've missed, the things that God had called me to do, but also the wood, hay, and stubble, the things that I'd just done for my own motives, the wrong trading and things like that. And, you know, his fire consumed it. But I felt, you know, a real sense of, whoa, there's a sense of loss and grief over all those things that I missed and done in the wrong heart, you know. And God still uses us, and he's so gracious, but he wants to purify and refine us, and he wants that fire to bring us into a deeper revelation of him. You know, and he wants us to come and see him face to face, his person, not just his presence, but his person. And to do that, you have to be willing to go through the dark cloud. And that dark cloud is where the fear of the Lord will lead us, if we're willing. And, you know, when I went through a four-month period of preparation to enter that dark cloud, to go through it, well, it was the hardest time of my life. But the fear of the Lord was involved in that whole process of wanting to show me the seriousness of my life. Yeah, it's great to have fun and joy, and it's wonderful, those things, but there's a seriousness about God's commission and God's mission to bring transformation, you know. And it's not just this planet that's going to be affected by it. The whole of creation is waiting and groaning, the heavens and the earth, and all those fallen angels and what they did in removing light. I mean, there's so much that God has got for us to do in the future. So we really need to prepare now. And, you know, Jesus made it really clear that he would issue rewards for the age to come dependent on how we respond here in obedience. And, you know, the parable of the talents, you know, he basically said, you know, those that have traded successfully with what I've given and used it for my glory effectively, I'm going to reward with rulership in the age to come. Now, some people take that as an allegorical thing, but actually I believe that rulership is not just, it's not over people and cities as we, it's over galaxies and stars and systems and things, because there's so much more. You know, there's more dimensions to creation that we understand yet. Now, some people are engaging there, you know, and we're seeing some of the crossover of those dimensions, but God's desire is that we would be true sons and enter into full sonship. And so to that to take place, we have to be willing to embrace tutorage and training of the seven spirits of God, and one of those, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. We really need to be willing to embrace him and allow him to teach us and to tutor us into what it is to be in full relationship with God, and what it means, and how we have to learn how to honor and respect God as well as have intimacy and love with him, you know. So yeah, I can see that that's definitely coming. Okay, anything else? I just want to go into some encounters.
Some practice. Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think as you've been talking about transformation, I think it would be good for us today to engage with the four areas within our own life where we engage with the presence of God in transformation, and we can go into those places to engage with God there. So what I'd encourage you to do is just to close your eyes and just begin to fix your eyes on Jesus. Just relax in his presence. Know that you're a habitation of God and his presence. And just begin to focus on your first love gate. Just focus on opening the door and welcoming in the presence of God within your spirit. Just feel and embrace the fire of his presence, the glory of his presence. Just let that heat of his presence just embrace you. It's the power of his love. It's the strength of his affirmation of you. Let it just embrace you. Let it just surround you. Let it just envelop you as you feel that heat within you beginning to burn, beginning to increase in intensity. You know, just feel his thoughts of you, about you. We have a choice that we can invite him deeper. He can remain in our spirit, or we can open the doors of our spirit that we can surrender to his lordship. Do we open the doors to our spirit to allow him to flow through them? To allow his presence and the fire of his presence to flow into our soul, to flow into our life, to bring that fire of his transformation to our soul, that he brings the spirit of reverence and the spirit of the fear of the Lord through those gateways to touch our conscience, to allow his fire just to purge our conscience from any dead works, from any works of the flesh, for any way in which we have hardened our heart towards him in the past. Just allow that presence to come as reverence and the fear of God to touch your conscience. To begin to refine and purify it, to make it fresh and renewed and made whole. So our conscience would be directed by reverence and the fear of God to direct us, to guide us, to protect us as we seek to embrace him and his ways, as we seek to let his spirit joined with our spirit flow through our lives to remove every blockage, every hindrance, every stumbling block. Just allow the fire of his presence to set us ablaze, to put a fire on the inside of us, to cause our soul to be immersed in the fire of his presence. Let it roll over you, flow over you, touch your imagination and purify that screen. Let it touch the reason within your mind and purify your mindsets. Allow the mindsets to be transformed and changed and renewed as the fire of his presence flows through. Let it flow through the gate of revelation and bring fresh revelation to our minds. New insight, new revelation, that new thoughts of him would come. Revelation of our relationship. Every disappointment, every hurt, every disillusionment that we face from the past, that our thoughts in our mind would just be refined and purified by the fire of his presence embracing us. Allow that fire to flow into your mind, into your heart, into your subconscious mind, where all the memories are stored. Allow the fire of his presence to just purge those memories. Every memory that's a hindrance and an obstacle for transformation, just let them be purged. Let the fire run through the memories, the caverns of our soul that have stored information. Let the fire just burn those things which are a hindrance and a stumbling block. Let the fire of God's presence just flow through our soul. Let the intensity increase. It's the wind of the Spirit just causes an increase in fire and intensity as it touches our emotions, as we surrender our hurts, our unmet needs, our unresolved issues to him, as we let the fire stoke up the flames of forgiveness, that we would forgive and release those who have hurt us and let us down and disappointed us. Let the fire begin to inflame us and cause us to be passionate and zealous to forgive and release everything within our emotions, and where our emotions have caused hardness in our hearts, just let the fire begin to burn those things, to transform us, to purify us. And let the fire flow through into our will, to that gateway, let our will, where we've been hard-hearted, where we've set our wills against the things of God in the past, let those things be burnt with fire, transformed. Let each gateway open and the flow of the Spirit of life, the glory of God that would flow through our spirit, through our soul, to begin to transform who we are, to bring us into fullness and alignment. Just allow the fire of God, His fiery presence, because He loves us. He never would want us to remain the same. He wants to transform our lives. He wants to purify our lives. Just let the fire of His presence just embrace us. And let it come to that gateway of choice. As each gateway leads to choice, that our choices will be purified with fire, that we would choose only His will. Not our will be done, but His will be done. As we surrender our choices to the fire of His presence, that every choice of negative trading, of every choice for our own selfishness, for every choice for self-gratification, every choice that has built us up and has been for our glory and for our honor, let every choice be consumed with fire. So our choices would be pure. That we would be led by worship. As our worship gateway just becomes wider and wider, that we would bow in obedience and obeisance, that we would bow down before our King, that we would take His yoke upon us, we would learn from Him who's gentle and humble in heart, that we would truly know who we are, our identity, as revealed by fire, pure stones, pure gold, pure silver. And as we truly worship, as we truly lay down our lives before Him, that the gateways of our souls would be open to the flow of the life of God, flowing through us, flowing through the gateways of our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our smell, our touch, to create an atmosphere of glory around us, to create an atmosphere of the Spirit of God around us. Let there be a flow. Let us be joined in one Spirit, flowing to create the spiritual atmosphere that will bring transformation, not just to our lives, but through our lives, around us, to our families, to our friends, to our workmates, to those we know in relationship. That the fire of God's presence would ignite us with passion and zeal for the transformation that's to come, for the expansion of His kingdom, to the increase of His government, that our lives would be a manifestation of the government of God on earth as it is in heaven. Just let the fire of Your presence fill us, transform us, change us. And we welcome You as we take You by the hand, Jesus, to come into the garden of our heart, to come into the secret place where we would be free to creatively release from pure hearts that which You've placed within us, the deep desires of our hearts, purified and refined. Let there be a creativity that's released within our garden to allow the river of life to flow, to allow the trees and the seeds which we plant to produce abundant, overflowing fruit. to allow that secret place. And Jesus would just have us lie down with him in that secret place, that place of rest, that place of peace, that we would hear more clearly, that we would see more clearly, that we would feel more clearly from a purified heart, that our garden would be alive, living, fragrant with the presence of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just to allow his presence, the fragrance of his presence, the joy of his presence, the peace of his presence, the overflowing love of his presence as our shepherd to flow around us. So we're in that secret place that we can create within that garden to sit with him, just talk with him, sense the fresh things that he has for you, sense the new revelation that he has for you. Just begin to embrace that fellowship. Just allow his presence to rest with you. Hear his words, the still small voice within your heart. Just see him, embrace him, and feel his love. As you feel safe and secure, at rest and peace in his arms, just sense the trust. You can trust him, that he is for you. It begins to stir the destiny that's within your heart. He leads you to the place of greater transformation. As he takes you now through the dimension, into the dance floor, where his light begins to encircle you and dance around you, where the revelation of who he really is at a deeper, deeper level just begins to dance within your thoughts, dance within your emotions, the fragrances and the colors. Just allow the DNA of God, the light strands, just touch you at a deeper level within your spirit, within your heart, to touch you, to transform your DNA, to transform you with light, to impart to your light strand of DNA fresh, new revelation of who he is, of eternity, of who you were within his heart in eternity, who you will be within the age to come. Allow that revelation to be imparted. Just let the color and the fragrance and the frequency and the formulas, just let them come around you. Let them dance within your DNA. Let the words that he speaks, the light waves that come over you, the particles which bombard your DNA, transform you. Just feel it. Swirling, dancing. Just let that light touch you afresh. Go deeper and deeper within you, carrying the resonant frequency of who he is, of who he was, of who he is, who he will be to you in your life. Engage you, capture your heart. Feel that the fragrances of his presence just going to flow over you. Just feel deep calling to deep, calling you back into alignment, calling you back into heavenly harmony, calling your spirit, soul, and body back into unity, that you embrace the nine strands of the DNA of God, you embrace the nine stones of the colors reflecting the glory of eternity. Receive those colors into the fabric of your being. The vibrancy, the frequency, the sound, and the colors together, transforming you, changing you, renewing you, restored back to eternity. Now we can just step back from that place into this realm. So I just encourage you to take those experiences and just see them as a beginning. You know, they're not the end. Go back there. Embrace his presence and embrace intimacy, but embrace transformation, embrace the dance floor again and again and again, and just ask him to reveal more and more of what he's done in your heart, what he's doing in your heart in intimacy. Okay, right, so how did you get on with that? And if you like to share,
that's really good. I really felt carried by the words, and also it was light and flowing, and felt also his presence. So more on a feeling level. Yeah, really, really good.
Okay, what about you, Marjan?
Well, I'm going through a bit of a hard day. My mom is going to be brought to sleep today. Yeah. So I have to say goodbye.
Okay.